Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. And it's time for today's camp notes for 7/30/24. So we're looking at the baseball trade deadline. There was a lot of talk about the Trevor Rogers trade today and whether or not that was enough for Kyle Stowers and Connor Norby, who are a couple of legitimate prospects for the Orioles. And I think it's fair to say they may not have gotten full value. Other people may disagree, but looking at Trevor Rogers, obviously a lot of blue numbers or blue data, which is not good in terms of the Baseball Savant website, in terms of value of his various pitches and whiff rate and whatnot. So we'll see how Trevor Rogers does. A left-hander comes to Camden Yards. That'll be kind of interesting. Let's get back to football. I'll say. So at a macro level, there are no pads today. The weather was nice, overcast, which is always good from my perspective. I'm not a big fan of direct sunlight. Practice was quite clean today. There wasn't the chippiness we've seen out of some of the more recent practices with people really getting after it with each other. Just one field of 11 on 11 play. Part of that was a matter of some injuries, which are starting to pile up. So let me go through this list of people who did not play today, because it's a long one. Keaton Mitchell was absent. He's already on PUP. TJ Tampa, same thing, not off PUP yet. Adisa Isaac, they still are hoping to get back, but he's on NFI currently. Evandy Rigby has had 8 straight days missed. He's missed every day of practice so far. That's been identified as a soft tissue injury by Harbaugh, but we don't have anything more on that at this point. Joe Evans was out today again. I believe that's the second straight day he's missed. Trayvon Mullen hurt his shoulder in one of the recent practices. I don't remember if it was 2 days ago or it was yesterday or 3 days ago, rather. Came down hard on his shoulder, so don't know what his status is yet. Now, they did move Malik Ham to IR. Obviously not good. We don't have details. Harbaugh wasn't at the podium today. Hopefully we'll get some, but obviously not a great thing to have him on IR. Hopefully it's not a season-ending thing. It'll be a return at midseason, but it's always a risk that you lose a player in camp and he goes to IR. It may well be a case where he's gone for the entire year. So we'll see. Rashad Nichols, I don't believe was at practice. I did not see him. If I've got that wrong, I apologize. Deonte Hardy, Tez Walker, and Rashad Bateman. So three of the wide receiver group were missing today. Bateman went down in practice yesterday. Tez Walker has kind of taken a beating from some of the defensive backs, some hard hits, in particular from Christian Matthew earlier. And I think Wiggins went down on top of him in the last practice late. He was very slow to get up. So don't know if this is precautionary or what might be the problem, but Walker out today. It's unfortunate because this has been a good day for him to get some opportunities with the ones with Bateman out. And those went to some other people. And Deonte Hardy, for a little bit different reason, unfortunate that he wasn't there, not just as a receiver, but because they finally got to practice the kickoff returns with the new rules and whatnot. And it would have been a good time to have him out there and on the field for that. Let's see. All four quarterbacks were at practice. So that's always nice. And that, of course, includes Lamar. And the entire offensive line is healthy. That's been a nice trend the last couple of years, is the offensive line has been more healthy than not. And that's been a very positive thing through camp as they've done that. So we had the interview with Ronnie Stanley and some of the results from that in yesterday's notes. I encourage you to take a look at that or to go listen to that or go and maybe take a watch of the interview itself, which is out there on the Ravens website. But good stuff anyway from Ronnie, and it seems to be feeling better. In terms of the practice itself, close practice in terms of competitiveness between the offense and defense. There are several lead changes on the scoreboard. So I kept looking up and kind of interested in how they were scoring individual plays. There were a bunch of 1-point passes and whatnot. And there were, some 2 or 3 point, changes for other things that had occurred, but it was very close. There's back and forth as practice went on. I believe the defense ended up winning by a few points, like 2 or 3 points, but it was very close all the way through. So got there and they're starting the kickoff return drill, which is the very first thing, something we've really waited for during camp to see just how are they going to play this. And this actually ties in to Chris Horton's remarks at the podium. So I'm just going to kind of put these together as I talk you through this. So the coverage and return teams are both lined up, and they're really feeling each other out. The coverage team starts at the 40-yard line. I believe the return team starts at the 30-yard line with a group of blockers, and they're attempting to decide whether it's more efficient to look backwards towards the kick return man to pick up the point of the catch where the blockers can then move forward, and also the return coverage guys can make their move as well. Or perhaps it's more efficient to look directly at your blocking assignment opposite you and wait for him to move if you're on the return team. So the idea being that if he moves late, and this is what Chris Horton said, if he moves late, you'll still be on time because you're moving the same time he is. So it's an interesting idea to leave it up to the players in terms of when they want to take off and take advantage. One thing they did say is that it was going to be a point of emphasis for the return players in particular to understand the rules for touchbacks and what was happening in terms of the yards and starting position on the kickoffs. Now, one of the big things about these new rules is that every ball is a live ball, including balls which go into the end zone. So they have to be on top of that and be ready to have their young guys who are just in the NFL now going to find those footballs on the ground and going after them rather than leaving them there for someone to pick up. So that's a potential issue as well, particularly if the ball bounces in play and rolls in the end zone was the situation he's addressing there. You had Justin Tucker out there trying some directional kicks. So they're trying to see if he can get the distance, measure the distance up well to either sideline. And you got to be careful. You want it deep, but you don't want it too deep where it ends up in the end zone, or you give the offense an advantageous field position that way. So nice to see him try those as well. And I thought that the entire process is clearly not everybody knows. It did look to me like the coverage teams we're doing a little bit more in terms of getting after it and getting down the field. Some of the XFL video I've seen of this had a lot of one-for-one blocking assignments being made by the return team, and I'm just not seeing that same level of one-for-one success on blocking that it was present in some of the NFL video. Horton made the point that they're gonna look very heavily at what happens in that first game, not only to them, but looking at the video from around the league and see how teams are approaching this. So I think everybody's trying to figure out how they can do it, how they can do it well. I think a lot of people will be looking right at the Baltimore Ravens to figure out how they do it because they've had extremely well-coached special teams for many years. And it'll just be interesting to see how this plays out. But that was one of the highlights, I thought, of the day. And that's not often the case with special teams drills. That was kind of neat. I was on the side with the wide receivers. I'll just tell you what they were trying to do. They had releases from under a frame. I've talked about this for offensive linemen, but that's more natural for wide receivers. They just actually have to go under a bar. It's not a whole frame for them. Really getting off low, kind of not in a 1970s style wide receiver three-point stance. And yes, if you weren't watching football back then, wide receivers lined up in a three-point stance to try and get that sprint takeoff, very popularized probably by Bob Hayes, but by others as well. If now you watch these guys, and they're just trying to get low, not as if they're in the blocks, but they definitely want to get off hard and fast off the line of scrimmage when there's not press coverage, and that's the idea of what this drill was. Another drill that if you ever see it, it's kind of funny and it seems almost kind of abusive, but it's the one of the assistant coaches beats the receivers as a pad just before the ball arrives. So the ball kind of reaches its apex in the air. He hits them with a pad and then they have to work through that contact and catch the ball. Most of the receivers seem very facile with that. They've been doing this drill for a long time and it's just funny to watch sometimes. And then they had a contested ball drill that's actually pretty good. And I can't remember the last time I saw it, but it's something I certainly have seen before where, an assistant coach kind of runs along in step-for-step coverage to simulate step-for-step coverage with the receiver. And then the receiver has to adjust to the ball by leaping for it. And everybody, I thought, did a pretty good job of getting up and reaching a high point and making the catch at a high point, which is what they want to see. But Tylan Wallace took some heat for what I'll call a cheerleader jump, where he jumped with both feet. And Lewis was mimicking him on the thing. And then the other players just started piling on, including Zay Flowers, about how, you know, he jumped with both feet at the time, like you pom-poms in each hand and both feet off the ground, like you might think of a cheerleader jumping off the ground. But anyway, a lot of people were having some fun with that. Spent a lot of time on run drills today. So quite a bit of time committed to the run. We had some good defensive plays, some good offensive plays, but Simpson had a push of Hill from behind. That's a big no-no. He apologized for it right after. I've seen that happen occasionally. That's usually major point of emphasis. Coaches are on right away. You don't want to have an injury occur from a from-behind push during a a non-contact or a limited contact practice like this. So anyway, that was squared up. Didn't end up being any chippiness, which is nice. We had Ali bottled up on a play by Owe on the edge. Owe is just playing some great football right now and playing obviously very fast. The offensive side, we had a very nice crease created by Tayshaun Manning and Roger Rosengarten on a breakaway by Ali to the right side. One of the really nicely blocked plays that I've noticed, where the running back wasn't touched for a good while on the run. So a lot of these run plays, because they're run drills and the defense knows they're run drills, they stack the box and they kind of know that they need to protect their gaps and they're going to be judged on that. And they don't have the fear of a pass in the same way. They heavily overcommit to the run, much as you might if a team has a minute left to go and say needs to get a first down on three plays in order to maintain possession and end the football game. That's kind of like what the defense is putting themselves in terms of a situation. And for that reason, it was my recollection that they ran about 20% pass plays in these run drills just to keep the run defenders on their feet. I didn't really see that happen today. I thought it was pretty much all runs. One play that I did notice was Sala moving to level two, and he got to level two fairly quickly, and then he just kind of bear hugged Jennings, the inside linebacker in level two, kind of a play that, you had good movement to get to level two, and then you hold fairly obviously in level two. It just didn't look very good. So unfortunately, not a positive note there. Let's see. We did have, and I can't tell you what drill this is in, but Dayton Wade reached back as a defender. Oh, this was just in a one-on-one receiving drill. That's what this was. So you have one-on-ones with a single defensive back on a single receiver, and Dayton Wade was covered by Eddie Jackson on his play. So Wade, the ball was well off target, and Wade actually reached back, made a very nice defensive play to knock the ball away from Jackson on what would have been an interception. And looking at the body of work that Dayton Wade's had, he's done a lot of good things. Had another play later on that didn't work out nearly as well, so we'll talk about that. But I think he's had a pretty good camp, and he got some opportunity today to move up in class. Maybe some of it means he's playing more with Johnson. He might have gotten some chances with Lamar today as well. I didn't note them, but he may have gotten such chances. Okay. A lot of notes for the defense to tell you about. I'm just going to go through this as a lot of individual plays. And when I get to the offense, it's mostly going to be about Lamar and who he hit, because there wasn't a lot going on from other quarterbacks on this day. But I'll give you the notes that I have for the defense first. So Kyle Hamilton had a quick tackle of Mark Andrews. Wasn't overly physical. Nice downhill play that was a good stop. Brandon Stevens ended a drive with a quick tackle of Hill on a swing pass to the left side. Anytime you get off the field in these drills is a nice thing, and so drive-ending plays in particular are at a premium. Ardarius Washington moved up to tackle Ali in the backfield. I thought a nice penetration on that play. David Ajabo had a pressure to force Lamar to scramble left. Brent Urban had a pressure which forced an overthrow from Johnson that was intended for Sean Ryan with JAD in coverage. So nice combined play there. I thought Urban's pressure probably slightly more important than what JAD provided on the play, but the throw was well overthrown after the pressure. Bump Cooper, and I didn't see how this blitz developed, and I shouldn't report it even if I had, but Bump Cooper had a sack of Johnson that ended a drive. So it's really interesting to see that. And I think it's a fairly good indication that the defense is not taking any prisoners with regard to scheme on their blitz stunt and efforts to rush the quarterback. So they will remorselessly do it to these Ravens quarterbacks. And this was just one example. Tremel Walther had a pressure of Jackson to force an incomplete left to Cunningham. I think I have the number right on that play. Now, normally Walther would be a guy who would be playing a little deeper in the defensive order, but I've got 94, so I presume I recorded it correctly. And Malik Cunningham was indeed on the field getting some opportunities with Jackson in this practice today. So a kind of nice chance for him to play with the number one quarterback. And again, that's a function of those wide receivers being out with injuries. Tavius Robinson had a pressure to force an incomplete by Johnson. Tavius has looked pretty good these last few days in multiple ways. Good as a run defender. He's definitely provided some pressure, more so, I would say, than in the first 3 days of camp or thereabouts since the pads came on. They had 2 days in pads and two more days not in pads. I'd say he's looked pretty good over that 4 day period. So nice to see that. And the Ravens really need him now with Ham out. That makes him short another outside linebacker. It could be worse because Ham is really a Sam linebacker. We don't know how much time he's going to miss as yet. I really hope it's not season ending, like I said earlier, because Ham is probably the Ravens' best backup Sam option right now after Van Noy. So they have a first down Sam option in terms of Harrison, who basically played that role last year, but he's really only a base defense Sam linebacker. So they really need to have another guy who would replace Van Noy if anything happened. And Ham was that guy, or at least I thought he was that guy. And now we just don't know. So he's on IR. Don't know when he'll be back. And hopefully it's not a season ending thing. Let's see what else we got going on. Kadar Holman had a sack of Leary off the right edge. Again, another defensive back, you know, a 439 guy coming out of school 5 years ago from Toledo, used on a pressure scheme to get to the quarterback. He added another pass defense versus Lamar in the 2 minute drill. Kadar Holman, not a lot of good things so far to say about him in this camp, but this is a couple of nice plays made in some good opportunity for him today. So I thought that was good. Arthur Maulet and Marcus Williams had double coverage of Malik Cunningham. This was on one of the longest throws of the day. It was about 40 yards right up the middle and just overthrown. But it was double coverage. The coverage was very good on the play, and it would have been, you know, a risk of an interception if the throw had been more in the vicinity, and particularly if it had been underthrown at all, high risk of an interception. Chris Board had the only interception of the day. He collected a tip from Dayton Wade. This is the bad Dayton Wade play I was telling you about. The ball looked a little bit behind him, and he kind of reached back, tipped it up, and Board caught it on the pop and moved with it for some yards down the right sideline. So nice play by Board. Christian Matthew, he had step-for-step coverage of Isaiah Robinson down the left sideline. And one of the things I've been noticing for him, it's true probably of him and Simpson would be the two perps I would point out on the Ravens defense, have been overly physical in these practices. He gave a shove from behind to Washington as the ball was arriving out of bounds. The ball was overthrown out of bounds. And, you know, for him to shove him down from behind is bad, period. But for him to do it when it's completely unnecessary kind of makes it worse. So I wouldn't think Christian Matthew is in the Ravens' plans to be on the 53, certainly. Don't know if he's a practice squad player, you know, a player who has a chance.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
To be on the practice squad, but he's not helping his chances with plays like that or being overly physical with Tez Walker as he was a couple of times in one of the practices. So anyway, just something the players ought to watch. Trenton Simpson's roster spot is not imperiled by being too physical, by clotheslining Derrick Henry, by the push in the back. He's not in any danger. He's a, you know, he's a starter. He'll be fine. But Christian Mathieu and other guys, I mean, this is something that they will probably consider and whether or not they want to keep him. Let's see. Lamar had a pass that he completed to Andrews between Humphrey and Trenton Simpson. And it went for a big yak on the play. What it looked like was Humphrey expected Trenton Simpson to be elsewhere on the play, and he didn't come through with his end. And the two of them looked at each other and spoke after Andrews has made his big run. The crowd's, of course, cheering, and you can't hear exactly what they're saying from the distance I was at anyway. But it was a nice, very readable after the play emotion. If I had to say it, I think it was frustration on Humphrey's part that I was seeing. JAD made a quick tackle of Sean Ryan to end a drive. Nice to see JAD make an occasional play. He's probably not done very much this camp, I'd say, to help his cause. Really critical that he stays healthy for these preseason games and shows up with some live fire. And I think if I had to say that the biggest thing he needs to do is not just stay with receivers man for man and be a traffic cone for them or a guy they have to leap over to make a catch. He needs to find the football. He needs to find it in the air, maybe make a play on the ball for a PD or interception, but also even if he could just get to the catch point on a regular basis and be disruptive that way, it'd be an improvement on what I think I've seen so far. So, a guy who's got a lot to prove this preseason. Adafi Owe had another pressure on Lamar to force an out-of-bounds throw to Zay Flowers in the two-minute drill. Nice to see that continue to happen. Like I mentioned, Owe is making several plays per day, and I don't think he's going at full speed anymore given what some of the talking to's he's had already in this camp about not causing car crashes, as Harbaugh put it. Ardarius Washington had another quick tackle to end a drive by Johnson in the two-minute drill. So, again, anytime you get off the field in those drills is really nice. There's a lot of celebration involved. And this was one where the pass was 0 yards to the left side. He came up, made the play, and always good to see tackles short of the sticks in those drills. Arthur Mollett was all over the place in the goal line drill. So they lined the ball up at about the 5 yard line, and Lamar had a turn, and then other quarterbacks do, of course. But he had a tackle for loss versus Derrick Henry on a pass. He had a late pass defensed of a Johnson pass that was intended for Aguilar, so that was nice. He had a quick tackle of Kolar. All good plays. And then he was involved or between on a coverage play that went awry. Johnson had a TD pass to Malik Cunningham that was placed between Mollett and Jackson, and the two of them talked about it after the play. I didn't get the sense that the conversation was heated in any way, but obviously one of them or both of them had a different expectation of coverage responsibilities on the play, and that's why you have that sort of post-play conversation. So, by the way, if you're watching film, in particular, if you're watching from the broadcast video, there is a trove of information in the post-play conversations between defensive players. It's also true, by the way, for offensive linemen, but it's really true for defensive players. And, you know, you play zone defense and you have expectations of what your teammates are doing. You have your expectations of what your teammates are doing in terms of leverage to make sure you're forcing a ball carrier either to the sideline appropriately and into the arms of a teammate. You have to have that trust. And when it gets betrayed, conversations occur. And that there's just as much information there as in almost anywhere else in watching film. So watching post-play emotion, to me, very important. Nate Wiggins, a guy who has not had a big camp so far, not in my opinion anyway, had PDs on the last two plays of full speed 11 on 11. So the first was to Aguilar, and the second was to Andrews. And Andrews did claim that he was held on the play. Andrews is not, in my mind, a chronic whiner. So he is someone who I respect when he does occasionally complain about something. But the referees were not particularly receptive to that set of complaints. Let's flip over to the offensive side. I got a few things to talk about. It's mostly Lamar Jackson here we want to talk about because he really had a nice day. But we'll start with the laps. So as you know, they've been doing laps for various infractions, various mostly pre-snap penalties, but also bad snaps have been penalized with laps and not just yardage. So we had Voorhees have a lap today. Daryl Simpson had a lap. And Justice Hill had a lap. So none of the quarterbacks, which is nice. And, you know, the number for offensive linemen is reduced. The fact that Josh Jones didn't have a lap today is the odds makers took a beating on that one. So anyway, a fairly good day to have only three laps runs, I'd say, for false starts. Now, I know what everybody wants to hear about is Lamar's day, and it was really terrific. He did not throw an interception the entire day. So right there, that puts the day at a high level. He did only have one really long pass. That was a 40-yarder attempt to Cunningham. I mentioned it earlier. It was a double coverage by Mollett and Williams on the play, straight down the middle between the seams, between the hash marks, I should say, and was overthrown, but incompletes don't burn you. It's interceptions that burn you. And a lot of really nice mid-range passes. Some of them had some really decent yak attached to them too. So I'll go through those really quickly. 15 yards to Andrews between Williams and Hamilton. That's Marcus Williams and Hamilton in zone. 20 yards to Flowers after being flushed left. So really nice to throw a pass well after you get flushed left, which is usually, as I always say, death to left to right-handed quarterbacks. So nice pass there. 10 yards to Likely, who had beaten Roquan Smith. 10 yards to Aguilar, threaded between Ardarius Washington and Board. 15 yards to Aguilar up the left sideline. 10 yards plus a big yak play to Andrews between Humphrey and Simpson. That's the one I talked about earlier. They looked at each other, big yak play, crowd goes wild. There's a change on the scoreboard that's significant, so they obviously recognized it as a long play, and that was a nice one there. A 10-yard throw to Andrews. This was the catch of the day, or Andrews really laid out for the pass as Lamar was pressured by Travis Jones. So great that he could get it off. He kind of put it up into space where the man he trusts most, you know, was there to go lay out for the football and get it. And, you know, I think those guys will go to war together as long as they possibly can. And Andrews really showed why in this practice with that catch, because it was really it's kind of ball you can let drop in practice. I mean, Andrews probably can't let it drop because it's not how he's wired, but you could let drop in practice in the name of not getting hurt. But really nice play. Then he threw a 10-yard touchdown to Likely, who boxed out Hamilton in the end zone. Really nice play. Hamilton seemed a little frustrated after the play. It's probably a case where he would have gotten physical with Likely or the catch spot if this were a regular game. But it's also a real nice box out play by Likely. And when you're a defender and you're not supposed to be pushing anybody in the back and you're not really supposed to be contesting the throw physically in the way you would normally during the regular season, I'm sure it's going to be a little frustrating. But I think you have to credit this one more as a nice grab by Likely. And then a 10-yard throw to Sean Ryan. It was a nice, easy pitch and catch throw. Eddie Jackson was badly beaten on the play. And Ryan was right in the middle, open in the end zone. And again, a nice, easy pitch and catch. If I'm probably worth saying again, anyway, the connection with Mark Andrews looked as if it was in midseason form. Lamar goes to him first. He goes to him last. He goes to him often in terms of what happens. And the connection between them in practice is almost harmful for the Ravens offense, I think, in terms of how often he wants to throw to Andrews. I think it almost helped the Ravens offense last year to have Andrews out. Likely clearly exploded and you know, looked as good as Andrews, I would say, but other receivers also benefited from the fact that Andrews wasn't getting targets necessarily. I thought also Lamar had a great year last year in terms of not using Andrews as the automatic bailout receiver, but he still looks for him in practice, and the connection is there very clearly. I mentioned Josh Johnson had the only interception of the day. And the offense was missing some top receivers, which I think I talked about earlier. So that's pretty much it for the offense. The run drills, I can't gain much from them. There was a lot of run drill action there. One of the questions I had was for Todd Monken about Derrick Henry and the mesh point. And, you know, what do they have in terms of a sense for that? Because I presume they're going to want to use, you know, traditional read option concepts with Lamar and Derrick Henry because of the value they have in creating opportunities for play action. But what he said is he really didn't have any kind of sense for whether Derrick Henry could handle the mesh point or handle a late pull from the mesh point. You know, we know that Mark Ingram was the master of that. He said, pull it as late as you want, just pull it hard. I think it is an area where Lamar and Gus Edwards had some actual problems with, particularly early in their careers. And Lamar's big fumble year in 2018, and he had a few in 2019 too, but he had a lot in 2018 on a per game basis. A lot of that was some trouble getting Gus Edwards to use a loose cage, you know, and allow that football to come out. And it's probably harder for a short yardage runner. It might be harder in general for a pistol runner, which is why the Ravens may have gone to more sidecar to facilitate the mesh. But I do know that they brought in tons of veteran backs over the years, and it hasn't all worked in terms of the mesh point. They've had problems with a variety of players. Kenyon Drake comes to mind in terms of being able to hold onto the football, out of the mesh point. So we'll see about that, and that'll be one of the big things to look for out of Derrick Henry is, can he handle that, and can they really then lever the value of Henry into something much more than what he'd otherwise be just as a runner. So, you know, he'll be very valuable as a runner. He'll be very valuable doing just that. He'll be even more valuable if facilitating the Ravens play action game. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that works out. Monken talked a little bit about the OL competition and when it's ideal to have the starters set. Didn't get the impression that they're set. Now, you got three layers of people at least involved in that kind of decision-making. So you've got Harbaugh, of course, at the top of that chain, who I think ultimately probably the decision rests with him, certainly should as the head coach. You've got Todd Monken, who's the offensive coordinator, who wants to have, you know, a set of guys that he can run his various schemes with. And then you've got all the input from Joe D coming in, who coaches these guys and knows the most about their fundamental awareness and what they're doing. So, you know, they don't have it set, I believe, at this point. Players need to be healthy, ready to go in that first preseason game. But I would not say, I think the left guard position I would say is fairly well decided that Voorhees is the guy. I think at right guard, there's just too much wrong with what's going on with losing my mind here. Faalele for the Ravens to be sure that he's the guy as yet. Ben Cleveland's been, you know, getting reps there and other places. I don't think he's out of the running yet, but you know, he's doesn't have it won either. So we'll see how that goes in those preseason games. And there's even a chance it could be somebody else. It could be a late acquisition that they want to play right guard. It could be somebody else. I suppose it possibly could be Josh Jones, but my own feeling about Josh Jones is that he's not really in competition for any starting spot at this point. He's probably a backup tackle and a backup guard. But he's had a lot of penalty issues in this camp so far, and I don't think that's making the coaching staff too excited about his play right now. So we'll see where he ends up. I asked Monken the question about the reduction in targets tight end, but then the uptick in productivity per target. And he gave a few, you know, reasons for why that might be true that are interesting. I'd encourage you to go out and watch the response on the Ravens interviews if you're interested in that. He hit on some things. One thing he didn't hit on was the notion that Lamar used a variety of bailout targets rather than just Andrews, or just Andrews, or likely say once Andrews was lost last year. So, you know, there's other things. He thought the uptick in the receiver group helped with the increase in the productivity of the tight ends, which is probably true. And he thought it also reduced the number of targets that the tight ends got, also reducing the number of snaps they played. So there's some good answers in there. And I rather than trying to paraphrase what he said, I just point you to the Ravens website, and they have a good set of interviews out there about it. T. Martin came out and he was asked several questions about the deep ball and creating more explosive plays. One of the interesting things he said is, you don't want to get in a quarterback's head with regard to how he's overthrowing players on the deep ball and say something different to them about how they need to either release the ball sooner or target them later or change their trajectory. Just you don't want to get in the quarterback's head. The quarterback's, you know, very good feel with what he's doing. And if you do that, you really run a risk of messing up the quarterback. So I'm paraphrasing in that respect, but T. Martin does a very good job of explaining that. And he said, you know, as a quarterback, I threw a lot of deep balls. They were all different in terms of who I had as a receiver, what I knew about that receiver. And that was part of the focus of the questions, was whether or not, you know, the trust basically for Bateman on the deep ball was as high as for, say, OBJ or Aguilar or some of the other players that he probably trusted to go up and make some one-on-one grabs. So it's a good listen if you're interested in seeing that. Zach Orr came to the podium immediately after and last of the day. And there are two interesting points he made. One had to do with Trenton Simpson's demeanor on and off the field. And he said, you know, he thought it was probably part of the position. And of course, Zach Orr was a Will linebacker for those who are relatively recent Ravens fans, just like Simpson. And he said, when you play inside linebacker, you got to flip the switch on when you go on the field, because things get very real, very fast. And, you know, you have to be kind of a guy who has a little bit of swagger, and I'm paraphrasing now, and a guy who is willing to mix it up and get physical. So he did not seem to be in any way upset with the amount of physicality that Simpson has had in this camp in some of the limited contact practices. That was one point that he made. The second question he was asked was whether or not he'd be an on-the-field coach as opposed to a booth defensive coordinator. He said he wants to be an on-the-field DC. Very interesting information. First I'd heard of it, and that it was important to him from a communication standpoint to not have a lag in communication with whoever he needs to talk through to get information to the field, and the ability to read player emotion, you know, as they come off the field, and try and figure out, you know, what's going on in terms of those visual clues that he thought he'd have a harder time picking up on from the booth. Very good answer. And, you know, the Ravens have had a mix of guys over the years in terms of guys who were on the sideline, guys who were in the booth, and guys who did both, by the way. Marvin Lewis actually did a little bit of both. I think it's probably a very positive sign for his relatability as a defensive coordinator that he's on the field as opposed to being in the booth. And hopefully he has other good people telling him what's happening from that booth perspective. So anyway, very impressive set of interviews and the assistant coaches here, obviously with the group today and no players, but they all had some interesting things to say. That's going to do it for Camp Notes today. Again, I'd encourage you to go out to the website if you want to watch some of those interviews directly. If you are looking for other Camp Notes, there will not be one tomorrow on 7/31. I won't be attending practice for one of two times anyway this this summer. So I'll miss that one. We'll be back the next practice and be reporting again. And if you have a film study short you'd like to do, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. And always happy to respond to folks who have some good ideas about a program. That'll do it. We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.